In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. With the fourth and fifth commandments tonight, we turn our attention to our neighbor, that is, to our fellow human being. And we begin by considering our nearest neighbors, the ones who are our neighbors from the very moment our human existence begins, our mother and our father. And despite what some may suppose, our father and our mother have more to do with us than simply donating their DNA or their womb for 9 months to us. Rather, they are a gift from God. God gives us our parents to nourish us, to protect and defend us, to provide for our needs of body and soul. And all other earthly authority flow and is born from the authority of your parents. And so when parents are unable alone to educate their child, the school teacher is used to teach the child. When parents depart this life, they delegate and confer their authority upon others who are specifically appointed for that purpose. Yes, every Christian family should note this well. Parents do not derive their authority over their children from the government. It is just the opposite. The government derives its authority from the household. Now, to teach us this, God has given a special distinction to this fourth commandment. He commands us not simply to love our parents, but indeed to honor them. As the lawyer knew in our second lesson this evening, we are commanded to love our neighbors as ourselves, and nothing more. But God commands us to honor our parents. And so he distinguishes them, father and mother, from all other persons on earth. It is a far higher thing to honor somebody than to love them, because honor not only includes love, but it also includes humility, submission to an authority that is found in that individual. And so honor requires us not only to address our parents with respect and kindness, but to treat them outwardly and inwardly as possessing the highest earthly office, trusting God when he says that their authority comes from him. Of course, to confess that our father and mother possess an authority granted by God himself is not to deny the words of the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 5. We must obey God rather than men. Should our parents, or any other earthly authority for that matter, command us to sin or to deny our God, then we are bound to obey God and his word, and not those who rule over us on earth. No earthly authority, no matter how powerful they may seem, no matter how high their office may be, nobody has the power to contradict God and what he has said in the Bible. However, more often than not, our disobedience of earthly authorities is due to our own sin, not theirs. We're very quick to invoke Acts chapter 5 to excuse our neglect, when really we should repent. And the chief sin against the fourth commandment, as we learn it in the Small Catechism, is to despise our parents and other authorities. To despise parents and other authorities is more than simply not liking them or not listening to them. Rather, to despise authority is to disregard that authority as illegitimate, to reject that authority altogether because of some flaw they may have, whether real or imagined. To despise your parents and other authorities is to reject the place that God has given to you and to elevate yourself over your God-given authorities, a temptation that goes back to the Garden of Eden itself, when the serpent said to Eve, "You will be like God." This is also the story of Absalom, as we heard part of it in our first lesson this evening. Absalom, you may remember, was the son of King David. And Absalom determined that he would be a better king than his father ever was. Now, to be sure, David had his faults, particularly in the home. The family life of David was fraught with turmoil, much of it self-inflicted. Multiple marriages, mostly for political reasons. We know the story of Bathsheba as well. There were many children from many different mothers, Because of that, there were many sibling rivalries. And then, as pertains to this story, the violation of Absalom's sister Tamar by their half-brother Amnon. Now, we might ask, were Absalom's grievances against David legitimate? Was he fair to think that David wasn't serving as a good king? Possibly. Almost certainly in the case of the sin against his sister, for David did nothing to punish Amnon. David was angry, the scripture tells us, yes, but he did not discipline his son. He did not uphold justice either as his father or as his king. And so Absalom took it upon himself to exact revenge. Through deceit, he found the opportunity to murder his half-brother. And this is often the case. Violations of the fourth commandment typically go hand in hand with violations of the fifth. A little child refuses to wait for his parents to discipline his sister, so he decides to hit her and kick her. Citizens decide that they will no longer submit to their governmental authorities, so they take up arms in rebellion, usually with loss of life. Adults, not willing to sacrifice their time or their treasures or their pastimes to care for their aging parents, and so they leave them in poverty, loneliness, and weakness. And so Absalom is yet just another example of how those who break the fourth commandment often go on to break the fifth. And thus Absalom rebelled against his father and King David. He enticed the citizens of Israel away from David by stirring up discontent with his judgment, promising to reign more wisely than his father did. We heard that this evening. And so when the men of Israel were sufficiently gathered to his side, he claimed the throne for himself. He claimed to take the authority that God had given to his father. But God did not let this sin go unpunished. You may recall that he would be caught by his hair in a tree and killed by David's commander, Joab. You may also remember, especially if you learned this commandment from the older translation of the Small Catechism, there is a promise attached to it. God says that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth. Throughout history, whether we find it in the Bible or elsewhere, we have countless examples of how it did not go well with those who rebelled against their God-given authorities and how they did not live long on the earth. We know it from the child who gets disciplined for hitting his sister. We know it from the citizens whose rebellions are quelled, again, usually with violent force. We know it in the scriptures. The Israelites did not obey Moses, and so that generation was not permitted to enter the promised land. The kingdom of Israel rebelled against God and his prophets, and so they fell to Assyria, and the southern kingdom of Judah to Babylon, and later to Rome. With these punishments against the fourth commandment often come destruction, loss of life. And so the fourth and fifth commandments go together in their punishments also. Nevertheless, we should remember that the fourth and fifth commandments go together in their keeping too. The child who honors his father and his mother helps to care for the needs of his younger siblings. The citizens who submit to their lawful authorities help and support their neighbor's physical needs in peace and quietness. The adult who loves and cherishes his aged parents sees that they are provided for in their older years, meeting their needs of the body. But above all, we remember our Lord Jesus Christ, who rescued us from death and the grave when he obeyed his Father's will. Christ gave himself up to death, hanged on a tree, just like Absalom before him. And yet Christ was suspended there not because of disobedience and rebellion, but rather obedience, submission to his Father. And in submission to God the Father, Jesus shed his blood to cover all your sins. The Bible teaches that you were once in rebellion to God, and yet through the blood of Jesus Christ you've been reconciled to him and have been made citizens of his everlasting kingdom, living under him in righteousness, innocence, and blessedness all the days of your life. And Christ, who is raised from the dead, tells us that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And possessing all authority in heaven and on earth, what does Jesus do? He sends the disciples to make more disciples, to baptize and to teach. In short, to forgive your sins and to bring you into God's kingdom. Therefore, this evening, let us consider with all attentiveness the example set before us in Absalom. For the scriptures teach us that such things are written for our instruction, that we would not sin as others did. God does not take disobedience of his commandments lightly, and certainly not the fourth, but often punishes it with the loss of life according to the fifth. And therefore, this evening, let us repent of our sins. And let us flee to him alone who has the authority to forgive sins, Jesus Christ our Lord. He alone has the words of eternal life. Again, under his reign, we are blessed with forgiveness, life, and salvation. And a wonderful thing it is to be a part of that kingdom. In his name, amen.